in a world that feels, well, pretty chaotic a lot of the time, it makes you wonder, where do you actually find real stability, real peace? It's a big question. Finding genuine shelter, right? Not just a roof over your head, but something, deeper, an internal place. So today, that's what our deep dive is all about. We're exploring this idea of dwelling and finding shelter, and we're looking at it through the lens of, a really powerful spiritual text.
Yeah, so for this deep dive, we're looking at excerpts from the Faith Beans GP podcast, episode one, actually.
Right.
It's called Dwelling with God, Finding Shelter in the Most High.
Yeah.
And it kicks off this whole 16-part series they did, focusing entirely on Psalm 91. And the core verse they start with is this: whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Powerful stuff.
Okay, so let's kind of dig into that. Our mission today really is to unpack what it truly means to live inside that shelter.
Mm.
And, how this ancient text is presented as being super relevant for life today, offering like practical insights for you. So diving right into that verse, that first word, dwells, just jumps out, doesn't it? What's the source material saying about the deeper meaning there, especially when we're talking about finding stability?
Well, the source really hammers this home dwells. It's not just dropping by. It's way more. It's presented as a conscious decision, a commitment, really. It's framed as a lifestyle choice to remain. There's actually a Hebrew word they highlight, yashab.
Yashab. What does that mean exactly?
It means to sit down, to remain, basically to inhabit permanently.
Permanently. Wow. So not just visiting, like popping in and out.
Exactly. Not like a guest pass or a weekend stay.
Yeah.
It emphasizes this deep, settled, permanent kind of presence.
Yeah.
So the promise in this psalm is specifically for those who choose to yashab, to remain.
That idea of yashab, sitting down, remaining, it really shifts the perspective, doesn't it? It suggests a real intention behind it. So what's the significance then, according to the source? What's the point of making that kind of commitment versus just, the casual visit?
Yeah, the significance is huge. It's in the choice to make that presence your actual home, not just another stop on your schedule. If you're only checking in occasionally, the source suggests you miss out on the deep stability and the real rest that comes from inhabiting that space consistently.
Mm.
It's less about fleeting moments, more about a constant posture of your heart, sort of a lifestyle of surrender to that presence.
That really makes you reflect, doesn't it? Or prompts you to ask yourself, am I really dwelling in this sense? Or am I just maybe checking in on Sunday? Is my heart settled there? Or is it always rushing off to the next thing? Am I building my life around this or just trying to fit it in?
Exactly. And the source uses a great example to illustrate this. It's the story of Deborah, a mother of two from Trinidad and Tobago.
All right. Deborah's story. It sounds quite relatable, actually. She talks about feeling spiritually dry for years, right? Like she was just going through the motions. But then the lockdown hit. No more distractions suddenly. So she started waking up early, just sitting with her Bible, not really with an agenda, just talking to God.
Yeah, exactly that. Just sitting.
Dwelling. Mm-hmm. And it was in that quiet space, that consistent sitting, she had this big realization. She'd only been visiting before. But now she was making his presence her actual home.
And that's the key. Deborah's story really highlights the outcome, the tangible result of choosing to dwell. What happened? Well, it's spiritual dryness. It transformed into this profound sense of peace, real clarity, even healing, she said.
Wow.
Became less of an idea in her head and more of a lived, felt reality. All because she shifted from visiting to dwelling.
Okay, so dwelling is about that deep commitment, that permanent inhabiting. What about the second part of the phrase, in the shelter of the Most High? That sounds protective, obviously, but what kind of refuge are we really talking about here? The source must elaborate on that.
It does, and it's quite specific about what this shelter isn't. It's not the shelter you might think you find in your job security or even in your relationships, your daily routines.
Right.
Those things can be good, but they're not ultimate.
Right. They can change. They can fail.
Exactly. The source emphasizes that only this shelter of the Most High provides true, lasting peace because it's grounded in something or someone completely unwavering.
So this shelter isn't just like a basic safety net. It sounds more like a space for deep spiritual provision.
Hmm.
Identity, maybe.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
The source describes it as this sacred space. A place where you are completely known flaws and all, and yet still completely loved.
Mm-hmm. Known and loved.
Yeah. It's presented as a place where your soul can finally, truly rest. Because you're under a covering that's totally stable, totally sovereign. It offers more than just safety from, you know, external storms. It gives this profound sense of belonging, inner peace, and that changes how you face everything else.
That sounds incredibly appealing, especially now. And there's another story illustrating this, right? Michael's story.
Yes, Michael, a small business owner in Guyana. His testimony really brings this idea of finding shelter during adversity to life.
Tell us about Michael. His struggle sounds intense. Business collapsing.
Yeah, things were really falling apart for him. His business was failing. The stress was immense. He described feeling like he was literally drowning.
I can only imagine.
So one night, totally desperate, he just walks outside, looks up at the stars, and prays. Not just for his finances, but for shelter from his own fear, his anxiety.
Just asking for shelter from the internal storm.
Exactly. And his response wasn't frantic action, but commitment. He decided to spend just 10 minutes every day in silence, just dwelling with God, seeking that shelter intentionally.
10 minutes. That sounds manageable, but did it make a difference?
According to his testimony, profoundly so. Within about a month, he started experiencing this new clarity, a sense of peace he hadn't felt before. And in his words, God opened doors I wasn't even knocking on. New opportunities, unexpected solutions for his business.
Wow. So the answers came not from more hustle, but from resting in that shelter.
That's the fascinating part. He found the clarity and the way forward, not in the noise and the striving, but by deliberately choosing to dwell, to seek refuge under the Most High. It connects right back to that verse.
It really does. This whole deep dive, it just underscores the real power in intentionally choosing to dwell and to find shelter in that deeper spiritual sense.
Yeah.
Just like Psalm 91.1 lays it out.
Right. It's presented not just as, you know, beautiful poetry, but as a genuine invitation, a call to a specific lifestyle, a heart posture. And the promise attached is real peace, real clarity, even when things around us feel completely out of control. Which raises an important question for all of us, I think.
Absolutely. It brings it right back to the listener. So what does this all mean for you? What might it look like for you to consciously make space, maybe just 5 or 10 minutes a day, like Michael, to truly dwell, to make seeking that shelter a core part of your daily rhythm? How might that simple intentional act start to shift your own sense of peace, your stability, your understanding of the world around you, something to really consider?